Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. We're grateful that you're with us. We're grateful that you've chosen to spend some time here with our community, with this community. And if you are already part of that, then welcome home. And I would like to do as I always do, and which is to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I. And so it is. So knowing that and recognizing that, I invite you, I welcome you, I celebrate you in having you here with us. Because whoever you are, whatever your expression of life, however you understand yourself, whether it's as he, she, they, them, or any of the other ways in which people assign pronouns to themselves, or any of the ways that you come to have seen and known yourself and describe yourself, that self is an expression of the divine in your individual way, and we are so grateful that you've chosen to bring that divine self here and share these ideas and thoughts with you. So welcome. We celebrate you. We're glad you're here, and we love the fact that we are a center that does that. We are a center where you can come to learn spiritual practices and spiritual activities that can support you in your journey in a way that helps make it much more in alignment with what you'd really like to have and really like to live. So welcome. So to know a little bit more about us, I invite you to watch this moment where we talk about some of the excerpts from the Declaration of Principle, first penned by Dr. Ernest Holmes. Thanks. I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. If you want to know more about what we believe and what we teach, that Declaration of Principles and much more information, it's also available at our website, cslmidtown.org. I invite you to take a look at that. Those folks were members of our center. They are practitioners and board members. We talk a lot around here about practitioners. Practitioners are all of you, or every person, any of you who use your thoughts, your ideas to change your lives in some way, are practitioners. Now I admit today. So, and licensed practitioners, however, licensed by the Centers for Spiritual Living, are folks who use the principles of the science of mind and similar teachings and have learned how to do that in a way that has brought great good to themselves and can also work with other folks to bring great good as well. So as we do that, as we put this forward, we license people because in that licensing, we recognize their ability to do all of that that I just described. So all ministers in this teaching are licensed practitioners first before we take on the bigger responsibility of leading a community. It's imperative that we understand and are able to use the ideas of science of mind, the ideas of new thought, to change our lives and to bring change to other people's lives as well. So today I am the practitioner of the day, which means I'm bringing you the thoughts and ideas. And I'd like to do a word or two about what this whole thing about practitioners and prayer, spiritual mind treatment, we call it, which sounds kind of clinical. First time I heard it, I wasn't sure what that meant or if there were guys in white coats that were going to come in and take over and take care of us. None of that is what it's about. It is simply a more specific term for affirmative prayer. Because in affirmative prayer, what we are doing is not begging God for something, because it's already all been given to us. What we're doing is we're aligning our own minds, our own consciousness, so that we are open to the flow and the receptivity of the good that is already available to us, all around us, in us, and through us. So spiritual mind treatment, we are treating our own minds to better ideas, a better way of living, a better way of thinking that opens us up. It means turning away from those limiting negative ideas that say there's something wrong with us, that say we're not good enough, that say we're, some people will even do not even feel human or have that belief that they're not fully human. Whereas we know that fully human means being fully divine and fully spiritual. So it's, or at least that is how we teach and what we believe. So as we do that, and as we bring that forward, it's a matter then of changing my mind in order to receive those better ideas. It's lifting my mind to a higher or broader expression of life. So today I'm going to invite you to join me, if you will, as I lead you in a spiritual mind treatment. As we always say, I will do this in the first person because I can only treat my mind about you. And I invite you to take whatever parts of it are real for you and that you can connect with and bring it into your mind. And let the rest go. Don't argue with it. Don't fuss with it. If you want to argue with me about some of it, you've got my email. You've got my information. I'm happy to have conversations about any of this. But for now, just allow whatever isn't for you to just wash away. Just don't put any attention to it. And instead, put all of your focus and attention on the thoughts and words that are meaningful and matter to you. Because out of that grows a greater and greater community and greater consciousness of the power and goodness that we really are. Back to that whole opening statement, we are life. We are nothing without life. So join me if you would like. I would just say that God right now is the only idea that matters. Spirit, life, the infinite, energy, all those are synonyms for this one something, this beyond definition, and that yet we can have a deep sense of, an awareness of. That there's more to me and more to you and more to everything around us than meets the eye. That everything that we experience and know is creative energy. It is a form of energy that's taken shape and that's held into relationship with itself in order to be able to see and to know and to recognize it. So this one power, this one life, this one divine is creating all that is, allowing it to take shape and form within in that one power. It doesn't come out of it, it does so within it. So my life, my individual version of my life, is indeed a rich, powerful expression of this one power. And as I move through my life, and as life moves through me, I move through the awareness and claim for myself that all aspects of life are available to me. I open my mind, my heart, and my belief systems to receive it. And as I think in terms of how it shows up, how all of my life flows, I turn my attention to my prosperity. And I recognize that prosperity is that flow of good that comes to me and out to the world and back to me and through me. And as I recognize that there is no lack or limitation to prosperity, that there is no lack or limitation in me, I recognize that the flow of prosperity coming through me and to me and back out to the world is limitless. So I open my mind and my heart and my ideas for allowing and generating and creating and expressing greater and greater prosperity. When I think of my health, I recognize my body is but a slowed down, condensed version of spiritual energy, of energy itself. Every molecule, everything below and beyond the molecule, on the quantum level, there is only energy and only light and only life. So I recognize my body as having within it the blueprint for perfect human body. And as I recognize that, I welcome it into every corner, every part of me, awakening that perfect divine blueprint in every aspect of myself. From my functioning of all of my internal parts to my external parts. This thing called God, this thing called spirit breathes my breath. It beats my heart. It moves everything through me that's happening. And as my body is this amazing collective of life forms, I know that every aspect of it is functioning perfectly and well, and I claim that for myself right now. I also claim for myself this reality that working perfectly in function opens and allows me then a greater freedom and an ability. An ability to express the gifts and the love that I have out to the world through my work. So that all of my work becomes an expression of who I am and of what I want to give freely and easily and joyfully. Knowing that I am richly compensated for all of it, and knowing that in that being the case, I can only set myself free to give more, to live more, to live more abundantly. And then the knowing that I know that a core part of my of this flow of creativity, this flow of life, this flow of prosperity and health is relationship, because all of it is in relationship to whatever else is around me. I am in relationship with my family. I'm in positive, powerful, loving relationships with people that I meet and may perhaps don't even know until now. I stay in this openness and awareness that that love is a flow of goodness. It is a one piece. It shows up as kindness. It shows up as helping. It shows up in lots of different ways. It shows up as honoring the beauty and power of another person on their individual path. And so I accept that, and I allow that love flow to me. I know, because I am a creation of this divine energy, I am loved. I am loved beyond a love I have yet to be able to describe or fully experience. So I open myself to that. I open my reality to this love right now, right here, knowing it shows up all around me in so many different ways, and allowing this love to flow with ease and grace. I recognize that the wholeness of my life is now all about circulation and flow. Flowing of good to me and flowing of good from me out to my, to those I care about, to the, and to the world that I perhaps don't care about. And by just recognizing it, I'm opening to a bigger and greater idea. As I do this, I recognize all the lacks and limitations that may be popping up in my mind. I see those things that just go, You can't be prosperous unless you have X amount of the bank. You can't be healthy if you've got anything wrong with you. You can't be, you can't be, you can't be. All of that kind of belief system, I now release and relax back into the nothingness it tries to come from, and allow myself to stand in the truth of what I really am. Not afraid to look at those negatives, but also not limited or controlled or managed by them. They no longer have power to create in my life. And instead, I live in great prosperity, great freedom, great health, great love, and with opportunities of giving that is great work. I'm grateful for this, so grateful that this is the user-friendly universe in which we live. And in this user-friendly universe, I'm so grateful for all of the people who share and join me along the path. I'm grateful for the people who show up as avatars or as those who are opposed to everything I'm about, because when they show up, they teach me new lessons and allow me to grow and go deeper. So I celebrate all of it as life flowing and bringing to me something of valuable, of value. It's never done to me. It's always done for me. Recognizing that, I can sink into this prosperity, this gratitude, and allow it to flow and unfold with ease. Knowing this, I let it be, because this, I release it into this great spiritual law of ours to take it forward and take it forth and bring it back to me in forms and shapes that I recognize. Letting that be the truth, I can let it be, and so it is. In just a moment, after we hear some wonderful music, our guest speaker today is going to be talking with us about the beloved community and expression of prosperity. And what I want to say about our guest speaker, he's a friend, Jim Lockhart, Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart. He is a CSL minister and has been about as long as I have, quite a while. He is also an author of two books. He is an international speaker and truly international. He lives now in France, and he is in communication with progressive thinkers all over the planet. He does a lot of work in the area of spiral dynamics, looking at through that lens at what's happening in the world. He does workshops and presentations on it. He's going to be presenting again today at 2:00. I'll tell you more about that later. Right now, let me invite you to sit back, recognize, open up, and enjoy some new ideas from Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart. Take it away, Jim, after the music.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Jim Lockhart. It's wonderful to be here with all of you today. I want to extend my appreciation to Dr. Bob Deem. Dr. Bob and I, as he mentioned, came into ministry about the same time, coming up on 30 years ago, although neither one of us looks like we could possibly be that old, I know. And I left what we call pulpit ministry about 8 years ago now, and I've been working primarily in the area of community building and looking at spiritual organizations as community. So that's what I'm here to talk about today, is the idea of the beloved community. And a term that originates with Dr. Howard Thurman, Dr. Martin Luther King, in building the idea of a worldwide human community where poverty would not be allowed, homelessness would not be allowed, there would be no war, and everyone would be compassionate and loving. And you may have noticed we're not there yet. So the idea is, how do we help to bring this to a reality by each of us in our own local communities, creating the kind of consciousness that allows us to express in that way, so that we can contribute in our own individual ways of being and in community ways of being to creating that kind of world that works for everyone. So I'm happy to be here. I'm in Atlanta for the weekend, and it's wonderful to be here. I haven't been here in quite a while. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my stay here in the States before I go back home to France. So if you can bring up the next slide, that would be great. This quote from Malcolm Gladwell, I think it's important for us in spiritual community. He says, or wrote, "If you want to bring a fundamental change in people's belief and behavior, you need to create a community around them where these new beliefs can be practiced and expressed and nurtured." And that's from the book, The Tipping Point. And this idea of being in community. Now, there's a couple of things that you may have noticed are going on in the world. One is the recent pandemic that has not fully run its course yet, obviously, but that has severely affected how we gather, how we do community, not only spiritual community, but all kinds of community. People are working from home more. There's just all kinds of ramifications and effects from this experience. And another thing that's been unfolding over time is something from what a field we call cultural evolution, is that people are moving out of the organized kinds of activities, including organized religion. That attendance for religions across the board in every denomination have declined over time. and that we're experiencing that. So the effect of the pandemic has been in a way to sort of turbocharge that. And it brings up the question of how do we gather in community? How do we create that space for that kind of support, the support system that we need to fully live our spiritual truth? It's almost impossible to do it alone, because you're out in the what we call the real world, where you're out in the world where going within and being compassionate and being loving isn't always looked upon favorably. It's looked upon as a good idea, but in practice, we don't really act that way, do we, as a rule? So we need a place to come, to be together in some way, to allow ourselves that safe space to do that kind of growth and development that is so important, to develop our own emotional and spiritual intelligence, to be able to be around people who are on that same journey, although they may be doing it in their own way, to have someone or some group of people that have the capacity to teach us what we need to learn, and to simply be in a place where community allows us to bond together. Spiritual community provides space for things like rituals, for marriages and memorial services and baptisms and things like that, that are so important to our understanding of ourselves in society and in community. It provides space for us to learn and practice spiritual truths and spiritual techniques and practices so that we can develop and do our work. You know, it's sort of like you go to the center, or you attend classes, or you watch this kind of a broadcast, and then during the week you practice what you have heard and learned so that you're able to grow and develop and create the kind of life that you desire. I really believe, my wife and I, Dorianne, has been in this teaching for many, many years. We met actually, interestingly enough, in 2003 when we were both elected to the board of directors of our spiritual organization, and that's when we met, and we were married a couple of years later, and we both have been practicing this teaching for few decades now. And I really, if someone says to me, how are you able to live in France? How are you able to make that kind of a choice and have the abundance to do it? I would really say because I practice this teaching. Before I came to this teaching, I didn't have the consciousness of abundance. I didn't have the consciousness that I deserved abundance, that the universe was actually conspiring in my favor as opposed to against me. I didn't get all that. And during the course of my time as a student of this teaching and later as a teacher of this teaching, but you're always a student, I was able to develop that sense of myself, that sense of who I am, that sense of who I can be, who I can be. And I came to like myself better. I came to like the person I was becoming. I came to be able to let go of petty grievances and the need to judge others and the need to look at the world as a reflection of myself, as opposed to myself as a being interacting with the world. So Gladwell's idea of the fundamental change in people's belief and behavior, that's what I experienced in studying the science of mind in spiritual community. I changed my beliefs and my behavior changed as a result. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that recognition, for that that ability, that opportunity that was afforded me. I guess my biggest complaint was I didn't find it sooner in my life. But I think that what we do is we find something when we're ready for it. So I've come to accept that as well. And again, my ministry today is working primarily with spiritual communities, in some degree with spiritual organizations, and to help them come to terms with some of the forces, the dynamics that are unfolding in our society today that are affecting how we are able to view and do spiritual community. So can we look at the next slide, please? This is from Jean Shinoda Bolen, one of my favorite authors. You have the need and the right to spend part of your life caring for your soul. It's not easy. Be a soulful person means to go against all the pervasive, prove yourself values of our culture and instead treasure what is unique and internal and valuable in yourself and your own personal evolution. I think this is such a critical idea. Does your life outside of the spiritual community provide you with the support to see yourself and be yourself in that way? And I think for most of us, the answer is probably not. And if it does, it doesn't do it very effectively. So we need the place to come together, whether we're in person or whether we're online or whether however we do it. We need to be in companionship with others, in what my wife terms as collective virtuosity, where she's a musician and she writes, she's working on a book now about chamber music rehearsal techniques and how chamber musicians learn to work together in a time when they're actually playing and they can't say anything to each other. So they learn to communicate non-verbally and they rehearse in such ways that allow them to understand where the other musicians are and what they're experiencing and so forth. And that they become a very tight community of mutual support. So one of the things I love about spiritual community is I get supported and I get to support others where I may be more in a better place or further along the developmental path than someone else. I can reach out and be present for them, even if it's just sitting with them, knowing a higher truth than they can currently entertain for themselves. I think spiritual community can offer what we call safe space. And I define safe space a little differently than others. Some people think safe space is where you should go and never experience discomfort or never be challenged. I think safe space is a place where you can be uncomfortable and be challenged, but be supported in that process. Because we realize spiritual growth doesn't occur except by going through discomfort, going through getting out of a certain mindset and moving into a better mindset, a truer mindset, a more expansive and more deep mindset. And our ego structure doesn't let us do that easily. You know, it's usually after we struggle against ourselves and our perceived notions in order to realize something more powerful and something deeper. She says, you know, the all-pervasive prove yourself values of our culture, you know, where you have to show up and prove to me who you are and prove to your boss that you're worth the money they pay you, or prove to your father-in-law that you're worth, you know, being a partner to his daughter or son or whatever. And, you know, that's so much of our lives. I remember, you know, going to school and as a young boy and just feeling like I had to prove myself to everybody. I had to, you know, spend a lot of time guessing what the teacher was thinking so I could give the right answers. And I wanted to be seen by my friends and fellow students in a certain way so I'd maybe alter my behavior from what would be more natural for me. And we've all gone through that to one degree or another. And on top of that, if your existence and who you really are, your identity has been one of those that is not generally accepted in society, then that has been a heavier burden to bear and a more, well, I'd say a tougher battle to come out, to come forward, to be who you are, and to do that and accept yourself even in the face of others not accepting. You know, I consider myself lucky. I my identity is as a straight white male is generally accepted in the larger culture. I know my folks like me, it caused a lot of problems. But at the same time, growing up, I wasn't an outcast because of who I was born as. And I can only imagine what that must be like. And to spend years building up the mindset then I don't belong or I'm not accepted or acceptable. And then the struggle to overcome that. My first ministry was in Fort Lauderdale and we had a very large community there, up to 1,000 people were members. And a large percentage of that group were gay and lesbian. I got to experience as I befriended many of those folks, just what they were going through and the bravery of their experience and they were so grateful to find a teaching that respected and honored who they were and a community that did as well. And we did it imperfectly, let's be honest, but we did it. We tried to grow. We tried to do it. Now with Centers for Spiritual Living, our organization, a high percentage of our ministers are from the LGBTQIA+ community. And it's just part of who we are, and there's no issue with it. And I think that's a powerful statement in today's culture, that here is a religion that is accepting and open and affirming and continually trying to get better in that regard. So I think that's a community that has a lot to offer. And, you know, I remember one time there were some issues in Fort Lauderdale. Some of our straight members were concerned that some of our gay members were sitting in service with their arm around each other. And it was interesting. They never complained if a straight couple did that. And I went to some of our gay members. They had an organization, and I went to the meeting and I said, here's what's going on. What should we do? And they said, no, we don't want to be a gay church. We want to be part of a larger community. So we will talk about that. But they said, you know, it's not, and they said, it's not about trying to make someone comfortable. It's about recognizing that if you're showing appreciation for each other and care for each other, we want to encourage that. So how can I speak to that in a way that would work for all of us? And we did that, and the issue just kind of went away. So we are in a religious teaching that is not dogma bound by proclamations from the past when culture had not evolved to the degree it has today. That's one of the great values of our spiritual communities in New Thought in general. And if you've been around our communities, you know that. Can we bring up the next slide? Dr. King, in his speaking and writing about the idea of the beloved community, said, our goal is to create a beloved community, and this will require a qualitative change in our souls, as well as a quantitative change in our lives. So just think about that. Think about the meaning of that. You see a picture of him there in handcuffs. I think that represents the idea that to open a culture to full acceptance of everyone in it is a struggle. And maybe it shouldn't be a struggle, but it is a struggle. And we have to be willing to engage in that struggle. Just like we have to be willing to engage in a struggle of our own personal growth to overcome our own internal biases, our own limitations, our own sense of inadequacy, and our insecurities about ourselves and the world we live in. I have come to the conclusion that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that we have everything we need to live full and rich lives. And I think I'm trying to set an example of doing that, of living a full and rich life and being open and having a wide variety of friends, acquaintances, colleagues, and so forth, and having a rich life to be enjoyed and to at the same time be a contributor to the development of humanity and the development of sustainability and thrivability on our planet. I think this is all part of what it is. And I think Dr. King would be both happy that there's been progress since he left the scene and dismayed that the progress has been slow and incomplete. And that's where we pick up the mantle, is to be open, affirming, to connect in a deep and real level. And I realize, here's what I realize, we have to do it with ourselves before we can really do it with another. I can't embrace you unless I embrace myself. So the work of spiritual development is a realization of our divine nature, of our inherent worth, and of our willingness to live lives of compassion and deep positive realization. I think this is where we are, and this is who we are, and this is what our work is. And I think it's best done in a supportive environment with others who can hold us up when we're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month, and that we can in return hold them up when they're having their negative experience. Because that's part of life, isn't it? Nobody lives a perfect life. Nobody is without trouble. Nobody is without pain or without issues. Yet, all of us have within us a capacity to overcome them, to heal, to move forward, to embrace, and to enjoy. And that's my message to you today. And I hope you find a way to do it. And the next slide, if you're interested, you want to take a screenshot of this or something, is my connection information. I'd be happy to hear from any of you, or if you want to see what I post on my blog or whatever the case may be, that would be fantastic. And I hope to see some of you this afternoon at our workshop, which Dr. Bob will tell you about in a little bit. Thank you all. I love you. I appreciate you. And I am enjoying being with you today. Namaste.
And now we'll hear a word from our wonderful treasurer, Vance Blue.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Bob. Thanks, Dr. Jim Lockhart, for that wonderful talk about community. And in that knowingness, we gain in this community spiritually, personally growing, being in this community. So now's our time for giving back financially, mostly here. And as you see, you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate. It'll take you right to the donation site, and or you can click on the QR code on this slide for our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Back to Dr. Bob for some announcements.
Thank you, Vance, and thank you, Jim. Yes, yes, and yes. So what else is happening today? Today we are having a workshop at 2 o'clock, beginning at 2 o'clock from 2 to 5, called Are You a Spiritual Edgewalker? This will be led by Dr. Jim, and he will be leading us through some fun processes as well as some education and learning and understanding. If you are interested, if you have found today's talk to be at all enjoyable, come on out at 2 o'clock. You don't have to pre-register. We'll be on the second floor at the City of Light, which is located at 3125 Presidential Parkway in Atlanta, right where 85 and 285, it's close to where that comes together. Easy access right off the expressway. So please plan to join us for that. If you found this at all useful and interesting, there is a request for a $40 honorarium or a $40 contribution for that. And love to see you there if you can, or if you choose. Also, coming up next week is our next time to be gathering in community together physically in person at the recreation center where we've been meeting all year. That will be a potluck, will be a talk and a potluck. It will be online. It will also be broadcast as this is through various places. Yes, the Garden Hills Recreation Center, thank you, is where we will be located for that. And come join us. It's celebrating freedom, celebrating the 4th, celebrating just being together and having a chance to sit down and rub shoulders and share food. So bring some food, bring yourself, bring your open attitude. If you can't bring food, just bring yourself. We would love to have you and see you there. Also on next Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock, our service starts at 11, but beginning before that is our adult study group. That group has been meeting for a very long time, and we're very grateful that we have a flow of people coming in and finding greater and greater expression. Some coming in, some going, and you know how that goes. It's a great place to dig into the foundational teachings that this center is built on. They're reading a book. If you look on our website, you will see the reading schedule. But even if you haven't read the book, if you just want to come and be part of the conversation and discussion, you're very welcome. It's a great way to get to know a little more about who we are, and also a great way to meet some people to become part of your spiritual community. Also next week, as I said, we have the service, we have the potluck, and we start our new year, our new month rather, not our new year, our new month. And the theme is going to be the game of life and how to live it. It's based on the book by Scovel Chin, entitled the same thing, The Game of Life and How to Use It. And we'll be looking at the contents of that book. We'll also be looking at how that translates now to 100 years later into addressing the game of life today. We live in a world where gaming theory is a really important part of the development of what's happening on the internet and other places. So this is a good place to do that. So be with us next week. Join us at 2 o'clock today. And join us right now as we read together this closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a great week. Thank you. We'll see you next time.